look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting.
Welcome to our service of harvest thanksgiving. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. May he fill us with truth and joy. We come together as the family of God to offer him praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive his holy word, and to bring before him the needs of the world. Lord, direct our thoughts. Teach us to pray. Lift up our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. God has blessed us, but still God's children go hungry. Lord, have mercy. God has blessed us, but still the poor cry out for justice. Christ, have mercy. God has blessed us, but still we see inequality and oppression in the earth. Lord, have mercy. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Creator God, you made the goodness of the land, the riches of the sea, and the rhythm of the seasons. As we thank you for the harvest, may we cherish and respect this planet and its peoples. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
An Old Testament reading from Joel. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Your word is a lantern to our feet and a light upon our path. The first reading is from the first book of Timothy. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. Your word is a lantern to our feet and a light upon our path.
Such wonders he has done.
Alleluia, Alleluia. We bring you good news, that you should turn to the living God, who gives you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling you with food and your hearts with joy. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lifespan? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't worry about a thing, 'cause every little thing is gonna be all right. Bob Marley knew what he was talking about, didn't he? Maybe I should just skip the sermon and lead us all in a sing-song. No? Okay, that's fine. But surely that's the point of today's gospel, isn't it? Isn't it? Well, the author Adrian Plass tells a story about his time at a Christian gathering in the Midlands. He was working with an evangelist who stepped onto the stage and gave a message that went something like this. I don't worry because I belong to God. I belong to God, so I don't have to worry. Why don't I worry? Because I belong to God. Who do I belong to? It's God, of course, and because of that, I don't need to worry. Worry? Me? I don't. Why should I, when I belong to God? Several variations on that theme later, the evangelist closed his talk, left the stage, came into the wings and said to Adrian, I'm really worried. I don't think I got through to them at all. Hold on a minute, said Adrian. You've just told all these people here that you don't worry because you belong to God. What about that? Ah, well, he said, I was preaching then. You know what? I can't be like that preacher. I can't stand here and say, don't worry, because I do. And it's not surprising, given how much there is to worry about in the world at the moment. We live in troubled times. The ongoing pandemic, the climate crisis, the shortages of goods on the shelves, the cut in universal credit, all these things and more affect us in some way or another. And that's before we get into our own personal circumstances. And then there's the times this passage is taken out of context and used to bash us when we struggle with mental health issues. So I guess what we're asking today is, does this passage basically add up to Jesus asking us to do something that is at best unrealistic and at worst downright impossible? Well, yes. And no. I think the context of this passage is hugely important when we try to understand it. It falls inside what we call the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus spends time addressing humanity's most common problems, finding purpose, achieving reconciliation, responding to evil, handling possessions. In the part we find in chapter 6 alone, he's told us to pray for our daily bread, reminded us not to make our charitable giving all about us, warned us not to hoard gifts, but only to store up treasure in heaven. He's explained we can't serve both God and wealth, as we'll either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. And now he kind of sums all this up by helping us to think about the common human problem of worrying about all the stuff he's just been talking about. I think it's important to know that, because this isn't just a case of Jesus suddenly standing up among his disciples and going, "Hey fellas, you know that worrying thing you do? Knock it off. It's embarrassing." That's not what's happening here. And if we need any further proof that he's linking it to what's come before, the reading begins, "Therefore." It's a bit like Jesus is saying, "I've talked about all these things to do and not do. I've told you how to approach God in prayer. And now I'm going to help you overcome one of the stumbling blocks that could stop you doing any of it." Seems to me that Jesus wanted his listeners then, and us listening now, to be honest with ourselves and him about whether we actually believe that God is our loving Father. In keeping with the context Jesus was speaking, it looks like we're being asked to work out which of three different groups we kind of fall into. Are we like the stage performers, what we would now translate as hypocrites? You know, the ones who only act pious, perform the religious stuff with the right words and the right actions, but don't actually believe that God is their Father. Or is it more like we're kind of half credited, half struggle with it? Are we, as Matthew likes to put it, a person of little faith? Or are we like Jesus, going the whole hog, going all in, trusting completely and utterly all his proclamations about God? Because to Jesus, money and stuff are false gods. They can only go so far in keeping us safe, and relying on them is basically trying to fend for ourselves, do it alone. But God, our Father, God, your Father, is different. He's real. He cares. He responds. And he is active in your life right now. To make his point, Jesus leads us through what the author Sheridan Voysey calls a guided meditation on the natural world. "Look at the birds," he says. "Look how God feeds them each day. Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. Look how beautifully dressed they are. Look, God is active right now, providing for his creation. And this same God is active in your life too. So don't be troubled about what you'll eat or wear. God looks after birds and flowers like this. Won't he look after you, his child?" Jesus even chucks in a little humour. The wonderful idea that we try to worry ourselves taller, or the image of the lilies in the field checking out the latest social media influences to try and improve their looks. I think Jesus' point is this: if God is our Father, if God knows us inside and out, then he knows our worries and what lies behind them. To me, this means who we are and where we fall in those three groups should govern the tone of voice we hear Jesus speaking in here. I say it should, because there's always a danger that because of how life has played out, or what we've been taught, or if we stop communicating with God on a regular basis, the message can become distorted by the filter of our fears and worries, and we hear it in a different tone to which God wanted us as an individual beloved child of his to receive it. And yes, actually, some of us probably do need to hear an edge to Jesus' voice. Hear him giving us a metaphorical toe up the backside to turn away from some of the false gods of this world. And instead, to get up and get on with trusting God, not ourselves. But some of us need to hear a softness in Jesus' tone. The comfort and care he is offering if we can let God take the pressure off us. Ultimately, I think Jesus is challenging us to discern the things we can change and the things we can't. It's the old serenity prayer, isn't it? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Some things we can change, but some things we can't. And Jesus certainly doesn't shy away from telling us our lives won't be carefree. There will be storms. There will be difficulties, especially when we pick up our cross and follow him. But what we are being asked to remember is, as believers in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our lives can be driven by trust and not worry. We're being asked to trust God with our future, our needs, our problems, and our fears. Now, at this point, I'm just a tad cross with the lectionary compilers because, for me, they miss out a crucial line. Don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus says in verse 34. Today's trouble is enough for today. And to me, that's part of the reason this reading ties in so nicely to harvest, because harvest reminds us of God's great provision of our needs for today. Food to eat, material to make our clothing. Harvest reminds us to share those things with our neighbours, hence why we gather in things for the food bank or to donate elsewhere. And harvest reminds us that we must be generous with what we have, because God has been more than generous with us by providing his own self for our salvation. So to answer my earlier question, yes. Yes, it does seem an unrealistic ask from Jesus. Nobody in their own strength can avoid worrying about themselves or their loved one or their world, because actually we care too deeply. But no, it isn't unrealistic. Because God, through Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, is working with us and through us to help us to cope with the chaos of this world, because he cares so deeply too. And if a time comes when that worry incapacitates us, as it may, if the black dog of anxiety bites, which it can, I can say from experience the meaning behind the words, the way we may be here, don't worry, can make a difference. Because in those times in our lives, what seems to help the most is when somebody takes the time to be present in the moment, accepts us, anxiety and all, and loves us just as we are. Because that is what Jesus is offering today. Wherever we find ourselves today, physically, mentally, Jesus wants us to trust him, to trust our Father, to trust that they are right there in it with us. And if we choose to receive any gift to keep and to share from this bountiful harvest celebration, surely that love is enough. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son.
Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Peacemakers who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. The peace of the Lord be always with you. God of all goodness and grace, receive the gifts we offer, and grant that our whole lives may give you glory and praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all the gifts you have given us, for our life and the world in which we live. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the work we are able to do, for the truth we are permitted to learn, for the good there has been in our lives. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the order and constancy of nature, for the beauty and bounty of the world, for day and night, summer and winter, seed time and harvest. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the boundless store of harvest, for the fruits of the earth to sustain and gladden life. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the industry and perseverance of those who work on our farms, for those who shape the farmer's tools and build farming machines, for those who, by their skill and labour, have helped to supply our food. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the comforts of life, for our homes and their joys, for our parish, our town, and our community life. Father, we give you thanks and praise for our communion with you, Father of all, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for his life and for his death, for his resurrection and ascension, for his redemption of all creation, and for the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. We give you thanks and praise, Lord God, our Heavenly Father. Amen.
Fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine and soft refreshing rain. Good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord for all his love. He only is the maker of all things near and far. He paints the wayside flower, lights the evening star. The winds and waves obey him, by him the birds are fed. Much more to us his children he gives our daily bread. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank
good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord for all His love.
And so we offer our prayers to God for the life of the world and for all God's people in their daily life and work. Generous God, on this Harvest Sunday, we celebrate your goodness to us for the gifts of your creation and the amazing beauty that surrounds us. We praise you and give you thanks. Teach us that the earth in all its fullness is yours, and we are your stewards. We thank you that we live in a country where food is plentiful and available. But may we open our hearts to those that struggle daily in our community. We give thanks for all who help in our food banks and ask your blessings on them. Bless today the gifts we have brought before you, that they are used to your glory. We give thanks to you for generations past and for those who represent us now in tending creation. For the skills of farming communities, fishermen, retailers and suppliers, and for all involved in the processing, transporting and selling of our food. Make us grateful for the works of their hands. Father, we praise you for all you have given and all you have done for us. Creator God, hear our prayer. So often the lack of justice throughout the world makes us angry and bitter. We see in the media daily reports of people being driven from their homes, denied basic foods and freedoms that we enjoy. We pray that they may find the help and safe refuge that they desperately need. We pray for restraint and fairness in governments, in the use of economic power and resources in our world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Eternal God, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we bring before you those who are sick or sad or lonely. We pray that they may know and feel your comforting presence and know that they are safe and loved. Hear now all those we name before you, who have asked for or who are in need of healing prayer, all those on our own hearts. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you for your comfort and peace for those who are grieving. May they feel your arms around them and know your love. We remember those we have loved and hold in our hearts who are no longer with us, and we bring their names before you now. So we pray this week for Kathleen Russell and May Holden. And we remember this week Bob Oxley, Richard Barry Conway, Donald Mellish, and Ruth Blagden. Heavenly Father, hear our prayer. God of grace, as you are ever at work in your creation, so fulfill your wise and loving purpose in us and in all for whom we pray, that with them and in all that you have made, your glory may be revealed, and the whole earth give praise to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as our Saviour taught us, so we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. To a troubled world, peace from Christ. To a searching world, love from Christ. To a waiting world, hope from Christ. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you, now and always. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, the darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great!